We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
What the heck is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Kinda Funny XCast, your home for all things Xbox here at Kinda Funny. Of course, I'm one of your show hosts, Snowbike Mike, and today I am joined by just one of my gaming dads, but it's the birthday guy because, of course, last week we started to celebrate your birthday.
That's right.
And this week we continue the celebration. It's Gary.
We're on the flip side of the birthday now.
Happy birthday, Gary. How are you?
Thank you very much. Yeah, good. I enjoyed my birthday. I had a lot of fun.
Good. I want to talk about it in just a minute, but of course, we got a special guest. Paris out. On vacation.
Still on vacation, yeah.
Enjoying himself. He'll be back on the show next week. But I said, you know what? Let's keep the guests rolling. You and I, we had a fun one-on-one. I think that episode was a ton of fun if you checked out last week's episode.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure to go watch and listen. But I brought on a very special guest. It's Bernard Smalls, a.k.a. Beans Got Game. You're going to hear us call him Beans throughout today's show. He's a tech and video game writer for Hip Hop Wired and so much more. Beans, I know you from playing games with you, from seeing some of your reviews online with one Mr. Greg Miller. But of course, if the Kinda Funny audience doesn't know who you are, if the XCast audience isn't aware of all the dope stuff you're doing here on planet Earth in the entertainment and video game industry, can you give me a rundown of what the heck you do and who you are?
Of course. First of all, I'm happy to be here with you guys today. Thanks for the invite. Right now, I work for iOne Digital. I'm a men's lifestyle and pop culture writer for the company, where they own two websites I work for, Cash's Life and Hip Hop Wired. And on there, I cover, you know, entertainment, video games, and tech. And that's pretty much it. Yeah, that's where I cut my bones and teeth.
I like that. What was the last article you wrote about video games? What have you been covering lately, Beans?
The last two articles I wrote about were the LeBron James PS5 accessories. I know this is the Xbox show.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Of course, the TMNT controllers I wrote about. That was the last two articles.
Talking about those today,
We're going to talk about those because I have the controller king here, Mr. Gary Witta, on the desk.
The controller,
so Beans
right.
is going to school us in that one. And of course, you know, we might be an Xbox podcast, but I got to give a shout out because, you know, I love the king, LeBron. Okay, he's the GOAT. And I love when I see dope collabs like this where we're mixing two of my favorite worlds, video games and basketball.
Is that a settled issue? I'm not a basketball guy. Is that a settled issue in the basketball world?
No.
He's the GOAT?
No, it is a very hotly contested issue. It is split down the middle. I believe
it's Jordan and LeBron, right?
Yeah, it is interesting. Beans, I'll bring you into this one. Does anybody else bring a third name in that's like truly in the conversation, right? Like, or is it always just Jordan and LeBron?
No, Kobe's name gets thrown in there.
Kobe's name is thrown in there, but it doesn't feel, it feels 50-50 as opposed to a three-way split with Kobe in there. Kobe's in there, but he's not, they battle these two. That's how I feel.
I mean, I don't want to wade into a sports conversation because it's absolutely not my topic, but I mean, I remember Jordan in the 90s when I first lived here,
when
Bulls were dominating and so forth. Oh. I can't speak to like who's better on the court, but I think it's hard to imagine anyone having a larger cultural impact than Michael Jordan did. I mean, you know, he's just beyond like superhuman. I mean, like one of the most recognizable names, not just in sport, but like in all of like human civilization. Who doesn't know who Michael Jordan is?
Pretty amazing. I mean, and that is what LeBron James is to the next generation of kids and young adults right now.
Right.
He is that face. He is that name. And they did do a dope collab with PlayStation. They have the face plates. They have a controller. Not my favorite look to it all. I don't like the everything is earned, nothing is given mantra. Like, I like that as a cool saying. I don't like that written on the side of my PlayStation.
No.
But I do like a lot of the basketball logos. I like the X's and the O's from the PlayStation sacred symbols, but not really vibing with that. But I will say, to bring it back to Xbox, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that's okay. It's my first time seeing it.
I like this way more than the Porsche collab Beans got game. I like this way more than this, Beans.
Ooh, interesting. I actually have the Porsche collab. I have one of those.
Oh, is that within arm's reach? Can you show that to us in person? Do you have that?
I can't pull the console, but I can show the controller. Okay. I have the controller here.
Oh, I like that.
You like that, Gary. Okay.
Why don't I have that?
Yeah, so I have... It's a great console, though. It looks better in person. When I saw the video at first, I wasn't really taken with it. But once I got it in my hands, I was like, oh, this looks really nice. Okay. It's one of my favorites. I think my favorite custom Xbox console is the Wakanda Forever one, which I have. I have that one, too.
So is that a whole special edition PS5 they're selling, or just the plates?
The faceplate for him.
And the controller.
Correct.
Right.
The controller for LeBron is right. Right now, of course, Beans was just talking about the Porsche collection with Xbox. They did a special 75 years of anniversary with Porsche and did that with Xbox. We talked about that. A lot of bright colors, Gary, just not up my alley. A lot of bright colors I didn't vibe with. I really love the Halo Infinite Special Collection. I like that one a lot.
I think that
was well done.
I'm glad that Sony is doing more of these custom controls. Yeah. Again, we talked before about how like Xbox, that's one area where Xbox is, I think, ahead of the game. Much more choice in terms of the colors and options and weird tie-ins and stuff. You know, that Starfield controller is fantastic. I'm glad that they're doing the Spider-Man 2 special edition, right?
Looks PS5, really good.
And then you've got this LeBron. They should be doing more of that.
Yeah. Well, we got some fun special edition controllers to talk about in just a little bit and some big Starfield news that you don't want to miss. But before that, I want to get to know Beans a little bit more. And I got a fun icebreaker question for you as well, Gary, with a Logan J writes in and says, Beans, what's a game you grew up with that you can always go back to and play again and again? Mine is Full Throttle from LucasArts and now Double Fine Games. Beans, what's a game that you can always go back to?
I'm definitely going to age myself with this one, but mine's was Flashback from Delphine.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember Flashback. Yeah, back in the day, yeah.
Tell me about it, Beans. What's up with Flashback? Yeah, yeah, what is this?
It kind of reminded me like of Blade Runner. Blade Runner was a game, kind of, sort of. At the time, I had it on Sega Genesis, and it was just, I would rent it every single time I got the opportunity to, and it was kind of hard, but once I finished it, I was so excited. It was one of my favorite games ever to play as a kid, man. Great story, big on sci-fi, and it just it hit everything. It hit every single thing in that game. It was really a fantastic title.
Same people that made Out of This World, if you remember that one.
Okay.
And it had this very cool kind of rotoscoped Prince of Persia style animation, 2D platform, shooting, running around shooting, a little bit kind of like Impossible Mission. Yeah, it was fun.
That's dope. Okay, good pull right there, Beans. Gary, what is the game that you can go back to again and again?
I mean, this feels like a cop-out answer, but Tetris.
Tetris. Good answer. It's a good answer.
And for me, the go-to version of that is Connected. Tetris Effect Connected still. Because anytime you just want to scratch an itch and play a game for like 10, 15 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever, get in and out, Tetris is going to do it.
I mean, I complain every single day about Tetris because I'm so bad about it. You know that. I'm just so bad at it.
I mean, I'm not terribly good at it. I'm just good enough that I enjoy playing it. Yeah.
It is fun. I had the realization recently. I was driving in my car, Gary and Beans, and you guys, I think Gary's going to laugh at this one because you brought it up actually last week, right?
Yeah.
As a kid from the 90s who grew up with an N64 but only played third-party games, there were two big standouts to me that I always loved.
Okay.
Of course, Conker's Bad Fur Day, but Gauntlet Legends.
I know you have very special memories with Gauntlet Legends.
I was driving in the car, Gary, and it was like the That's So Raven where it zoomed into my eyeball and I snapped out of it. And I was like, oh my God, that's why I love Diablo so much.
Yeah.
Because that's the evolution of what Gauntlet Legends was.
It's Gauntlet with fancier mechanics. Yeah.
Never occurred to me until just weeks ago. I was like, oh my God. And then you said it.
Yeah.
It's like, my mind has been blown.
Yeah.
I love this game so much, Gary.
Gauntlet is the original dungeon crawler.
It's so good. And Gary,
I go back farther, of course, to the original Gauntlet. None of this crazy Legends business.
That's crazy, Gary.
Oh yeah. I remember the first time I saw it in an arcade. And it had four joysticks for four players. I'm like, what is this? Like, that was a totally new concept at the time. And when I realized that four different players could come together and fight through the dungeons. It was mind-blowing at the time. Take that kind of thing for granted now, but at the time, it was revolutionary.
That's wild, Gary, because right now, you have Gauntlet Legends, then it went Gauntlet Dark Legacy, if you remember that. That was on the GameCube and also arcade.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they tried to remake Gauntlet.
They did.
That? And it kind of fell flat. Oh, nobody really cared.
Mm-hmm. Gauntlet will always have a very, very special place in history, but it's one of those things that just leave it well enough alone.
Yeah. I love that game.
I mean, if you think about it, in another universe, Diablo is what is Gauntlet now,
it
right?
Is.
That's what Gauntlet has evolved into.
I'm it's lucky like to have
suit, basically Gauntlet, but now with like way too many fucking mechanics.
we're going to talk about Diablo as
Don't
well.
Don't get me started on Malignant Hearts, man.
I see you. We're going to talk about it. Let's jump into the show. Of course, we have Bernard Smalls, a.k.a. Beans Got Game, with us, and we're going to talk some fun Xbox news with all of you because, of course, this is the Kinda Funny XCast. We post each and every Thursday at 6 a.m. West Coast, Best Coast time on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames, RoosterTeeth.com, and, of course, on podcast services around the globe. Don't forget, Kinda Funny is now Epic Games Partners, which means if you are buying games off the Epic Games Store, if you're upgrading your look in Fortnite, Rocket League, or Fall Guys, please consider using our Epic creator code KindaFunny at checkout to help support the team in a brand new way. And Gary, I want to talk about support because we've been on a roll with some really dope content here in the studio. Of course, the spare bedroom has allowed KindaFunny to continue to soar to new heights and make some really awesome content. Some things that I always want to highlight, The Blessing Show. If you haven't gone off to the YouTube playlist and checked out The Blessing Show, whether it be the most recent episode where he's talking about PlayStation's new vision for, of course, games as a service games and having a lot of that push, or maybe just some other classic episodes that everyone loves, please go check out The Blessing Show over on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. I think it deserves a whole lot more love.
There's never enough love for Blessing. He's the only, I'll tell you this, the best compliment I can give Blessing is when I walk into the Kind of Funny office, he's the only guy in the room that I'm thinking, is he actually cooler than me?
And he, is he?
Now I think you have to say yes.
Of course, we like to thank those who support us over on Patreon, whether you're on patreon.com/kindoffunny or patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Thank you all so much for your support. You could be watching ad-free. You could be watching live as we record all of our incredible podcasts, or you could be our monthly Patreon producer, just like this month's July Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. Thank you so much for your support. This week, the Kinda Funny XCast is sponsored by Honey, BetterHelp, and Shady Rays. But myself and the team will tell you about that in just a little bit. Guys, let's jump into it. And I got some dope news to start off. We got a brand new Xbox homepage experience now dropping on Xbox Series X and S consoles and Xbox One. So you will be seeing that either today or in the coming weeks, depending on when you refresh, when it rolls out to you and your account. But Gary and Beans, we got some new hot details about this homepage. And I think it's addressing a lot of the feedback that the players did share with Xbox and, you know, Team Microsoft of what they wanted to see out of this home experience. So starting today over the next few weeks, the Xbox X and S and Xbox One console owners will see the update. The new home experience is focusing on elevating ease of access for the library, Microsoft Store, Xbox Game Pass, search and settings with a brand new quick access menu located at the top center of the homepage. Also, the new homepage experience will add more space for players' personalized backgrounds with reducing tile sizes and moving them down towards the bottom of the screen. It also adds an option to have the background of your homepage match the game tile while you hover over it, just like PlayStation, but with no sound.
Oh, yeah, right.
Something
yeah.
to give you a picture in your mind right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you have a new home experience being updated and rolled out right now. Beans, I'll go to you first. How does it feel? Have you seen the refresh? And what are your thoughts on it?
You know, when I turned on my Xbox, it's always kind of overwhelming at first. A lot of tiles and stuff like that. So it never really like resonated with me too much. But I do like this new way, this new setup. It's much more cleaner. And I do like the fact that I can see my background now, which is Lilith from Diablo. So it's really nice. It's clean. It's very streamlined. You know, you can get to where you want to get to quicker, and start, you know, instead of having to just keep pushing tiles all over the place. So I kind of like it. It's not the 360 blades, but it's getting there. It feels a little good, but it's getting there. I like that they, you know, they took all the complaints and they listened to the community and they're really making an active effort to make this a little bit more user friendly. You know, I appreciate it.
I appreciate Beans throwing out the OG 360 blades. He's going to win over the fan base.
Those really were the high watermark, the blades.
You say the blades and people start, they get
everyone
excited.
Everyone remembers those blades.
So good for you, Beans, for winning them over. Right. Gary, what did you think? You saw that up on the screen in front of you as Barrett was throwing it by. What do you think about the cleaner look?
Yeah, I think I have it. I remember I booted up my Xbox this morning to play a little Diablo, and I remember I just went straight to the game, but I remember for a minute I was like, wait, did they change something? I didn't go back and look, but I think I've got it. I like the you know, it's evolution, not revolution, right? Just small changes. I've always felt that the Xbox UI is like fine, like good but not great. Like it's a little bit clunky, the different size tiles, still some of that residue left over from the old days of Windows, was it Windows 10? Which, what was the one when they brought in, or Windows when they brought in the tiles and they tried to make everything, they tried to make Windows Phone a thing that didn't happen. Yeah. But the tiles are still, some of that design language is still there in the Xbox UI. The quick access thing is probably going to be the most practical change that they've done. The uniform tile sizes, I think, are helpful, make it look a little cleaner. I need to spend some time with it to see if it's easier to navigate. But I think that the simple thing is going to be that as soon as I saw the quick access, I was like, okay, that's all I'm going to need to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, I am very pleased with what the team has come up with. Of course, I am part of the Xbox Insider Program, so I've seen them over the past couple of months roll out different updates where they have shown off kind of this cleaner look, smaller tiles, and refined it over time. And I am happy that we have kind of crossed the finish line of a new look. This team will never be done. They're going to continue to refine, redesign, and continue to push out new ones for us. But I am happy with this. There is some feedback that I have, but to start off on the positives, I do like that quick access menu. Just like you said and Bean said, right? I think there's such an interesting part of the audience when it comes to home pages. There are those that just come to games similar to myself. I know where I'm going. I'm going to press the buttons. I'm spending zero time looking at my homepage, getting lost in the homepage, because I know where I need to go, and I'm not spending time.
Yeah.
There are those who really like the cleaner look, right? They want the tiles to be uniform. They would prefer to have less ads taking up their screen space. And, of course, they want to see that cool dynamic background that they got, right? Like, you got that cool Halo Master Chief background. I want to see it shine. I want to see it purr, right? Also, the idea of being able to rearrange the different tile layouts and have different lists and different heights and where you want it to be, right? Like for me, I have my backlog catalog. I just have a list of tiles that have all the games that I just continue to put on the back burner because I know I'm never going to get to, but they're there when I turn on the Xbox to say, hey, Mike, maybe one day you'll click on it, right?
I actually don't spend a lot of time in the UI. Like, it's usually just, you know, whatever is your most current game, that's always the first thing you can click. Mm-hmm. So if I'm just playing Diablo, then I don't even need to go anywhere. The Game Pass tab, sometimes the store tab. Sometimes the games and apps page to, like, you know, download updates and stuff. But most of the time, if I want to get something done quick, I'll just press the Xbox button and bring that little panel over from the left. And I think that quick access menu at the top is meant to make that even easier. So
yes.
I don't usually get a lot. I don't usually go deep into the tiles of, like, you know, perks and
exactly,
you know,
your friends and community, different stuff. Yeah, I mean, I like that they give you the freedom to create that. And I think we've seen since the blades that Beans brought up, where it was very much left to right, it has felt since the Xbox One generation very up to down, right? Like we scroll downward to get to different levels of the tiles and what those things mean, right? And so for me, it always felt like I would go in and it would either be the game you most recently played, the five games that you've been playing that are on the back burner ready to go, or then it would go Game Pass, store, my games and apps, right? And you would just start clicking downward. I like that it's one easy up and then three left or rights to choose where you
want
to
be. The Xbox UI up till like today or whenever it is, because it's rolling out, like not everyone may have it yet. It's clean, but it's also like a little bit cluttered. Like it just feels a little bit kind of like thrown on the page. When I first saw the new version, my instant thought was like, it's cleaner somehow, but I'm not sure why. And I think it's just because they just did uniform tile sizes and just lined everything up in a nice little grid to make it cleaner.
And that's my only critique that I have, Beans and Gary, is I appreciate them. It feels smaller. It feels more pushed down, but it still feels like it's taking up a lot of the page, right? I think the top tile is probably hitting the 50% marker, and I think everything else rests at about 40 and below, which I do appreciate, right? It's not super high up there, but when I have that sweet Master Chief courage dynamic background, and he's helping the Marine up, and he's got the AR, and then there's these pink Needler shots coming by, they're still covered by the tiles.
Right.
Like, I'm not getting the full experience of this dynamic background when those Needler shots are still underneath tiles. And I think that's a tough game to play, right? Like, how much can you push where those tiles are now non-existent or so far down at the 10% marker or below that I really get the most out of it, right? But I do like hovering over a game and having that take over the background. I always thought that was cool and novel on the PlayStation side. And,
yeah, I actually like this version better, though, because I don't always want... It's like when you hover over a Netflix tile. I don't want you to go straight to the preview and start playing it. Like, just let me like hover on it without showing me what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The PlayStation one is cool, but you're right. When you hover over a game, it becomes the whole background, and it also plays some music from the game, which I don't necessarily always want.
Nah,
just give me at least let me turn that off. But you can turn it off. I'm gonna go find that setting
right away.
But I like this version better. Like, again, when you mouse over something, when you control over it, you're going to see the whole thing, but you're not necessarily being assaulted with a bunch of stuff.
Well, I'm glad that we're all positive on it. I now want to shift the conversation of what is next or what is that future desire that you want, right? Because I was on Kind of Funny Games Daily today when this news was out, and I was talking with Blessing, and he looked at me and goes, what else do you want, Mike? What is there? What's next? And I kind of was put back because I was like, man, this is what I want, right? I want smaller tiles. I want to be able to see the dynamic background. I want quick access. So I think they're nailing that, but there is more, right? And my question to both of you is, what is more to you? What more do you want out of this home page experience? Beans, I'll put you on the spot to start us off. Do you have something more that you want out of this homepage?
You know, I would like if they allowed you to bring, like, slide that up instead of just having it sit there. Maybe be able to bring it up and bring it down, you know, have the option to do that instead of it just permanently fixed there. Like you said, because you want to be able to experience your whole dynamic background. You want to be able to see the whole thing. And I think that's perfect. I mean, just just slide up, slide down. If you want to bring up your friends list, bring that up. You could bring that back down. You know, like, kind of like the start button back in the day. It's just, you just press on it, it comes up, it goes out. Because that was revolutionary at this time, and now it's like, you know, max now, the bottom is just not there. You could have it just go away and come up whenever you need it. So why not do it that way instead of just having it just sit there permanently? I appreciate that more.
I like that, Beans. That's a fun one. Like, a toggle on and off would be kind of cool on that. I am surprised we never got to the point like we see on PC homepages where you can just grab tiles and put them wherever you want on the page, right? I am surprised that they've never done that, right?
I mean, I think there's a good reason why you don't. Have you ever seen people like posting that, oh, here's my iPhone custom wallpaper and it looks like dog shit? It's like, there's a reason why we leave this stuff to the professionals, you know?
It's true, Gay. It's true.
People that actually understand basic, you know, UI design language. Uh-huh. I think it's easy to overthink this stuff. At the end of the day, you just want it to be clean and functional. Like, I just want to be able to manage my games, get in and out. Like, I want to be spending as little time in the UI as possible. I just want to play my games.
I would like, when I sat there and thought about it, I would like to see them elevate the quote-unquote screensaver moment. Right, I feel like we've all have seen it where you haven't played, it's on in the background, the screen goes gray, and then one third of it is cut off, and usually it's like maybe an achievement, maybe it's your controller, right?
Right.
I would like us to look at that and go, how do we elevate the screensaver thing, right? Like, is it just my dynamic background pops up and is living and breathing? I would love that. Is it maybe the screenshots that I've taken now become a slideshow like your computer or TV? My one thing when Blessing said that, I was like, I guess sometimes when I leave it on and I look away and I come back, I go, ah, man, I really just don't like the look of this screensaver item.
Oh, like the big, like the green half of the screen where I got like achievements. You don't,
doesn't look good.
Yeah.
I think we could elevate that.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. But good job. Shout out to the team. Of course, keep an eye on your Xbox. You will probably be getting the update. And if you haven't already, you could always restart it. That might kick on the update to roll out to all of you. And we'll have some fun with a brand new homepage and see what.
Yeah, I'm gonna go back and look at it when I get home to see if I actually do have it, because I remember, again, I just went straight to Diablo. Yeah. I was like, in that second before I pressed the button, I was like, did they change something? I think I've got it.
Let's have some fun. Let's talk Starfield, because man, oh man, September 6th can't come soon enough. And I am so jazzed up about this game, just thinking about who I will be.
That's really just around the corner now, isn't it?
It's around the corner. Oh, yeah. And Bethesda dropped some hot, fun stuff for us. Of course, we got not what I would call news, but we got some nice moments of Starfield that are going to make you say, dang, I can't wait for this game. There are three, I don't know how you would describe this. Let's take a look. The Bethesda blog calls them, I would say that Bethesda Games dropped three animated short stories on YouTube right now. They're animated videos, about 2 minute long, and they follow three different storylines within Starfield that will get you jazzed up for the game, titled The Settled Systems. The write-up from Bethesda blog says, follow a delivery pilot in New Atlantis seeking the exciting life of the elite. A stranded orphan looking for a way out of Akali's city and two street rats struggling to survive in the underbelly of Neon. And so, Gary, I made you watch these before, and I know Beans has checked these out. Very easy, fun, I would say hype videos to get you going and get you jazzed up and kind of set the tone. Of course, the music, iconic and just slaps. The animation, a very cool art style, and no dialogue at all. Some really cool storytelling with no dialogue to get you excited and kind of put you in the cities that we're going to see along the settled system. So we do see three big cities. Of course, we go to the big capital city of the United Colonies, which is New Atlantis. That is Starfield's biggest and baddest city. It's the biggest city that Bethesda has ever made. Then you go out to the famous Free Colonies to see Akali City, and then you go to where everybody wants to be, Neon. With those,
I want to be on that pleasure planet, right?
I know you want to be on that pleasure planet.
I'm just going to stay there. I don't care about the 10 billion other planets. Like, why would you go to another one? Just stay there.
After watching it, Gary. I want that. That's right. So I want to go around the room, just see what your initial thoughts are, and then we'll talk about each one, because I think each one serves a different purpose on setting the tone on what these different cities really are and what they mean and kind of the stories that could unfold within them. So, Beans, I'll go to you. What did you think of these three? Did you like the tone setting of this animation?
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of like watching like the Animatrix series. This is when Starfield was first announced, I was one of those people that was like on the fence with this game, but as gradually as more news came out and I attended the Xbox showcase, and I sat through and watched the entire Starfield Direct, I was really sold in the game after that. And seeing this more really shows how much lore this game has and how deep this story really, really is and how much work that Todd Howard and the crew put into this game. And I'm still thinking like how and when I'm going to play this game, how much time can I put aside for it? Do I literally have to take some time off from work for it? All kind of, because this game just looks like it'll never end. And it just looks like it's just so rich with a story that's just so deep and expansive. So I appreciated these like little mini stories and giving you a hint at what you can, your character, each of the, you know, the characters you can choose and play as, and there's, and the stories you can build on your own stories. So I really was excited by this. And I think the more news that keeps coming out, the more impressed I am with this game and how just big and massive and expansive it is. Cause I was worried about it, but I'm no longer that worried as when it was first announced.
Okay, what did you think of these? You're a writer. You see these all the time. You see really cool storyboards. You see how they sell these to the public. What do you think?
I thought it was all right. I wasn't blown away by them or anything. It was very kind of Japanese anime style, right? And very kind of bare bones, you know, where they're trying to, you know, it almost felt like a little bit like they were doing it on the cheap, which to me kind of goes against, like, the Starfield is like quadruple A, like all in, like God knows how many hundreds of millions of dollars he spent making and marketing this game. But this almost kind of felt like a Saturday morning cartoon. Like, it didn't feel like super premium the way that I think that's the way they want the Starfield brand to be positioned, is like super premium. They were okay. I didn't think any of the stories necessarily, like, I was like, oh my God, I got to know more about that character or whatever. Yeah. They didn't like blow me away or anything. But I think what they possibly did a good job of doing is illustrating that, you know, each story is like a different kind of way that you can come at the game. Like, want to be a delivery pilot? Be a delivery pilot. You want to be a Han Solo type, you know, space rat, you know, do that, go be a space mercenary or whatever, or, you know, sign up for the, you know, for the Navy or whatever it may be. You can like go live your life, you know, any way that you want. And the game will hopefully give you the freedom to do that. So I think it did a good job of illustrating that. I'm not necessarily sure like who these are aimed at. Like, if you're not already sold on Starfield, I don't think these animated shorts are going to like turn you around or anything. It's not what the game looks like. It doesn't really truly in any way like sell you on the game. I think the universe is interesting, but not hasn't shown itself to be particularly unique yet. There's a lot of futuristic universes out there, whether it be, you know, kind of Star Trek, Mass Effect, whatever. We see these futuristic universes all the time. I'm not quite sure what is unique about Starfield's approach to that yet, and these shorts didn't necessarily illustrate that. And for the people that are already in, I don't think I'm already sold. Of course, I'm going to play Starfield day one. Did these hype me up for it any more than I already am? No. I don't think they were bad. I just don't. They didn't like wow me or anything.
I like that. I feel like for me, it brings Starfield back into the news cycle once again. It brings me back into the excitement level once again, right? I think Bethesda and this team has done a really, really good job for me as a viewer, as a consumer, as someone who is excited for this game to kind of lull me along after the Summer Game Showcase. We had some dev diaries that Todd and the team got behind and shared different mechanics of the game. I like this, right? Because we are very close to release, right? Mm-hmm. We are not that far away. What more do you want to show? Because it is a game that we don't want to show a lot of.
Right.
We want to keep it kind of mysterious and wowing. And I think this was actually a really well done way, right? You don't have to show the game. We don't have to pick apart, is it 30 frames, 60 frames? Is it 4K,
right.
1080p?
No, it's just what's color. Yeah. It's fine. To that extent, maybe that's all this really needed to do, right? In the final run up now, you know, this is the crunch period where they're going to go all out with like hyping up the game, right? And they need to keep the Starfield at the top of the conversation, the top of the news cycle, like every day, every week until the game releases.
Yeah.
Here we are talking about it, right?
There it is.
So right? It succeeded.
Exactly. And then it also leaves the questions for viewers out there of we go on three different journeys and now we ask the question, well, are these characters in the game? Will I run in to one of these characters that we now saw in this? Will I be inspired to maybe join the United Colonies and be what this guy was? Do I want to go off and be under the neon lights of neon and go, you know, rob people?
Yeah, I mean, like that, that, I mean that did actually hype me up a little bit. Oh wait, there's like a neon cyber Vegas in space. Like, yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
So let's talk about the three, because of course I have the YouTube descriptions, and then I wrote up what happened during the 2-minute videos. I encourage you, if you are all in on Starfield, if you want just more Starfield in your life, go watch them over on the Bethesda YouTube channel because they are very good. Let's start off with, of course, Starfield, the Settled Systems, Supra et Ultra, which is above and beyond in Latin for you, Gary.
Okay.
In the city of New Atlantis, capital of the United Colonies, Kent, a courier pilot, aspires to live in the most desirable part of the Settled Systems. After joining the UC Vanguard and working his way up to the capital's elite, Kent quickly realizes the adventures waiting for him off planet are what he truly longs for. So it's about 2 minutes. We get to see him fly to New Atlantis and land on it. We see he's on the Junker ship. Mm-hmm. He's just a courier pilot, but he wants to be more, Gary. He has that drive and that dream to be
like a Disney princess.
It's beautiful.
It's like, what's beyond the horizon?
And then we also see him go out and enlist with the United Colonies, which I thought was really cool, to join the Vanguard, right? And for me, I was like, okay, what is the Vanguard? Are they space police? Are they going on? And what we saw was he's going on crazy adventures, getting paid for each one as they continue to get more daring and dangerous every time. We saw a little ship battling out there, which I thought was cool. And I liked that. And then I think the message at the end where he was sitting there and it seems like he's got the penthouse, he's retired, but he sees him take off and he goes, I want to go on another adventure.
Yeah.
I like that. Beans, what did you think of this first one?
That was interesting. I thought, you know, at first I know his whole career is just him being a courier, but I was like, once I saw where it went off, I was like, okay, I get it. He wanted more out of life. And again, you know, it just built up, you know, again, the classes that this game will give you in order to tell your own story in a game and however you want to just take this adventure in this game, wherever, what direction you want to go, whether you want to be a, you know, on the good side, or you want to be a pirate, or you want to fight piracy, or whatever you want to do, join the military. I guess, I don't know if you can do that, go help conquer other worlds or whatever like that. I guess what they're trying to push in these stories is that the possibilities are almost endless in that in regard, you know, whatever you want to do, you can do it. So I guess that's what I got out of it. Like Gary said, you don't really need these things too much to sell yourself on this game. I guess it just, to me, like Gary's pointing out, it just wants to show you what each person can do or what you can be in a game, and which the Vanguard, I think the Vanguard is a playable class and what that entails. So that's all I got from it, pretty much.
Go to the second one. The Settled Systems, Where Hope is Built. Vanna, on Akali's City, an Akali City orphan of the famous Colony Wars, desperately wants to explore the stars, and only one thing stands in her way, a broken ship. Her search for repair parts leads her throughout the city and into some unexpected danger as she closes in on her dream. I like this one, Gary. Hope. I like the idea of being kind of like lost and out there and just a junker. And then the idea of I'm going to go find that and I'm going to go out there and search the stars and have some fun. I thought this one was pretty good.
Yeah, and I think the way to look at these is not necessarily as each individual one, but look at them as a trio. And the fact, the idea is they're all, each one is very different from the others. And I think that's what they're trying to say, is like you can have, you know, really different experiences depending on how you choose to kind of make your way. Do you want to find your fortune? Do you want to, you know, be a bad guy? You know, it's, they're all very different ways to experience this universe. And I think that's the point that I think when they sat down to do this, they're like, I want to make sure that these three stories that we tell are all very, feel very differentiated from one another.
Yeah. And let's go to the last one, because I saved the best for last, Gary, because I really think this is you. You know what I mean? The Settled Systems.
Cyber
the
Vegas.
Hand that feeds you. Two neon street rats, Ada and Harper, are partners in crime, eking out a living, stealing from the wealthy partygoers that come to the Pleasure City to let loose.
When did you Ada, just say Pleasure Shitty?
But, you know, it rolled together, Gary. It's a lot. I've said a lot today. Pleasure
Shitty. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
When Ada is forced into a moral dilemma, she quickly catches the attention of the all-seeing Ryujin Industries, bringing her an exciting new opportunity, but at what cost?
So this is very classic cyberpunk, right? That she's kind of like a street rat who ends up winning the favor of this shadowy organization, this corporate organization, and, you know, peeling back the layers, what lies underneath, intrigue, corporate intrigue. Industrial espionage. That's like, of the three, like, that's the experience I want to have.
Yeah. I knew you'd like this one, Gary. And I know after watching these, my mind went wild, right, Beans? Because there's so many ways to play. You are at the center of every Bethesda universe, which is what I love the most. The player is at the center, getting to choose where their path goes. And there's Mike, right? There's Space Bike Mike out there. What is Space Bike Mike? But then I also really want to be Nigel Thornberry. Of course, we got the compliments slash, you know, critiques.
I remember, yeah, when you first got the stats, that was burn. The thing, right? Yeah.
So I want to now be Nigel Thornberry in space. And I watch these and I'm like, man, what's Nigel Thornberry going to do out in space? Right? He's all about animals. He's all about the environment, but he's about doing good. Am I a Vanguard? Should I enlist with the Vanguard? I'm thinking I might.
I mean, this is the kind of game where you're going to find out a lot about yourself.
I'm thinking Nigel Thornberry might. Okay, so that's what I'm excited to do. I'm really pumped up for this game. And I thought these three vignettes, these mini animated short stories, were very, very well done. And got in a new cycle again. Got us excited about
it. Like I said, that's all they need to do is keep the game in the conversation in the run-up to release.
Love that. Well, let's talk about some very awesome controllers, some radical controllers coming your way right after a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by PayPal Honey, the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. Did you know it only takes a few seconds to get it? That means if you go to add it to your laptop or iPhone right now, you could be done before this ad read is even over. And you know what else works fast? Honey's deal finding abilities. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. When you check out, the Honey button appears. All you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that, and then if it finds a working coupon, you will find the prices drop. We've saved thousands of dollars thanks to Honey, buying costumes, props, tech over the years. Honestly, not using Honey is just silly. Honey doesn't just work on desktop, it works on your iPhone too. Just activate it on Safari on your phone and you get to save on the go. Getting Honey seriously only takes a few seconds, and by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this show. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. kind of funny. This episode's brought to you by Shady Rays. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price, durable frames, and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures just like Mike likes them. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. And every purchase supports the Shady Rays Impact Program, which works directly with nonprofits and their communities to empower and make adventure accessible for all walks of life, from childhood cancer patients to young adults with serious health conditions. Exclusively for y'all listening right now, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDAFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself. The shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use code KINDAFUNNY. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. We all know life can be hard. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. I know from experience how often it just seems easier to care about others and keep it moving. But when we spend all of our time giving, it can leave us feeling stretched thin and burned out. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. For more balance with BetterHelp, visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny. BetterHelp.com/kindoffunny.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night, ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
All right, Gary Whittle, you're my controller guy, and I got Beans here because Beans and I are going to fill you in on a 4-pack of dope, extravagant, radical, superfly. Beans, give me a couple more adjectives for the turtles. What are we like? Superfly, cowbunga.
Awesome.
Awesome. Dope.
Heroes in a Half Shell.
Heroes in a Half Shell. Yeah, yeah. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Heroes in the Half Shell, 4-pack of controllers that are pizza-scented, Gary.
Yeah, I thought this was a joke when I first heard about it.
Well, guess what? They're not a joke, Gary. We have a brand new awesome collab coming your way, of course, via Microsoft and Xbox to celebrate the brand new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem movie coming out very, very soon. And what better way to celebrate the Heroes in the Half Shell than 4 brand new custom controllers. Now, I will give you the read, okay? Fans can enter to win the wireless controllers by following Xbox Game Pass on Twitter and retweeting the official Game Pass sweepstakes tweet. That giveaway will run from July 4th through August 13th. For the official rules, you can go check that out. For fans in NYC, you can join the celebration and check out in person the pizza-scented controllers, load up on pizza, and play in the Xbox Gaming Lounge at the Microsoft Experience Center on 5th Avenue from 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern on August 2nd. But Gary, what you need to know about this pizza-scented stuff is each controller will come with a scent diffuser that will bring that sweet, sweet smell of New York pizza to your game time. Gary, we in on these?
I would hesitate to use the term we because I feel like you and I are going to differ on this. Am I in? No.
You're not in on
this? No. Well, I mean, the one, you know me, I like my controllers. I've got many, many Xbox controllers. I've got way too many.
Mm-hmm.
I've collected many over the years. But what these controllers have proven to me,
yeah,
what I didn't realize before, is that there is a line.
You found the line.
And I will not cross it.
It wasn't the KFC Ultra Grease Proof Controller.
Was there a KFC Ultra Grease Proof Controller?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
see, that I would have been interested in. I don't know how that fell off my radar.
Okay.
No, look, first of all, I think, again, this is just my opinion. Yeah. I'm not a Turtles guy. I never have been. So these don't really appeal to me. They look absolutely hideous. They look like somebody fucking threw up on them. Come on. They look like hot vomit. And the smell thing, that's a cool gimmick, but you don't really want that in your house. Nobody wants that.
I probably don't want day-old pizza smell in my house.
Are they actually selling these things?
The smell, absolutely terrible decision. But, and this is something that we might be more raised on than Gary, is it reminds me of Nickelodeon slime.
Yes, the slime, the ooze. The ooze, of course, yeah.
Yeah, this, I mean, cause, yeah, there was a whole secret to that ooze, as I recall.
Beans.
Accurate.
No, it's a cool. It's a gimmick. I get it. Are they selling these, or is it just a special promotion? Yeah, okay, yeah.
Special promotion. You got to win the sweepstakes.
I think as again, all they need to do is get people talking.
Yeah,
here we are.
We're talking about it.
But no, honestly. Every now and again, Microsoft or somebody will reach out to me and say, "Hey, you know, Gary, do you want the latest controller?" And I don't ever think I've turned one down. I don't want these. I don't want them.
I've been shot in the heart, Gary. I can't believe you do Mikey and Leo like that.
Why would you want the smell of pizza but not actual pizza? If you want, why not just order some pizza? You get the smell and you get to eat
Gary,
the pizza.
Gary, you're talking to a man that bought a controller jacket for his Xbox controller.
Of I course, do, yeah. I mean, there are, again, there are people that will buy literally anything, and this is aimed at that market.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
Beans, you covered it. You talked about it in your article. What are your thoughts on the pizza-scented Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles collab?
Before I go, I just wanted to point out that movie was excellent, by the way. The cartoon was amazing. There's two versions that like this. There's two different reactions. My younger self, who was a huge Ninja Turtles fan back in the early 80s, late 80s, early 90s, that I would totally want these controllers. Me now, no, I'm with Gary on that. I don't want that controller.
Yeah, I think if you're 12 or living in the 90s, these controllers look very cool.
I mean, Mike is both of those things currently in 2023
right now. It's unbelievable. I love it. That each turtle has their own unique controller. I love that their faces are on there. I really like the animation style of this new movie.
Oh, I'd say I found that to be the biggest turn-off. I could barely sit through the trailer.
Oh.
It's clear to me that they're trying to do a Spider-Verse thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it didn't work for me. And animation style is obviously a very subjective thing.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that think it looks cool. I couldn't sit through it. It's not for me.
Okay. Yeah, I like that each one on the right-hand side, depending on how the controller's oriented, we'll have the face of the turtle, and then on the other side, we'll have their name written all cool, like graffiti style. I mean, of course.
And how does the diffuser thing work? What is the, how does that actually, what's the technology at work?
Well, you
there?
Know, people that go to the New York meetup in the Xbox Game Lounge will probably tell us, but it looks like it's on the back of the controller. We'll hold on to it. It's a large pizza slice as well, but it looks like it can be taken off as well because people were playing with it without
it. Yeah, you can take it off.
Do you remember the old days of Scratch and Sniff?
Yeah.
Remember Scratch and Sniff? Uh-huh. And now, obviously, it's gone to... is it powered?
I hope that there's a control fan in there, Gary.
Well, that's the thing. Is it powered?
Pizza smell.
Because a lot of these times, it's like the Glade thing. You plug into your power outlet. It warms up the oil, the scented oil. Is that what's going on? I don't know. How far down the rabbit hole have they gone?
It's like the controller's vaping almost.
Yeah.
Pizza smoke at you, man.
Beans, do you remember the kid at the beginning of the Xbox Series X when he blew the vape into the Xbox Series X and everybody was like, it's on fire now, y'all. And we had to ask Alana if the console actually caught fire. And she's like, no, it's not that hot.
I don't. I'm still.
They actually had to put out a tweet or something about that. Do not blow smoke into your
Xbox. Don't vape into your Xbox.
Because they try to make it seem like the thing was smoking.
This is why we can't have nice things.
That's why you can't have nice things. Beans, are you in on this or not? You're fully out on this one?
Yeah, it's not a controller I would want.
Okay.
I could say that. If they offered to give me one, I'll take it. I'll take it. But it's nothing I will go out searching for. I won't want it.
No.
Are you a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle guy, Beans? And do you have a favorite turtle? It's really one I want to know.
I've been a turtle fan all my life, and my favorite Ninja Turtle is Leonardo. I know it's a little corny, but that's my guy.
Leo, he's the leader. The strong leader.
No, isn't Raphael the leader?
He's kind of a brute, and he's like, you
know, they did that later on. They kind of pushed that idea later on.
Because
like
I remember
leader.
The song, because I remember the old movie. I remember Total Power. Raphael, he's the leader of the group transformed from the norm by the nuclear oop.
Oh, and you're
telling me you don't want these controllers out there spitting that at?
Yeah. Forget Mike. Bars. Remember the words of your teacher, your master. Evil moves fast, but good moves faster.
You're amazing.
That's a Turtles peaked back there. It's never going to get any better than Partners in Crime doing Total Power.
This podcast might not ever get better than right now.
T-U-R-T-L-E power. Oh, yeah. Come on, it peaked. That's when it peaked.
Big Daddy Kane bars, man. I'm with
and then after that, it was Vanilla Ice, and it was all downhill.
Oh.
Amazing, Gary. You guys are the best, you two.
You didn't like the ninja rap, Gary?
I mean, I like it. I like it as I never saw the whole movie, but you know, I've go ninja, go ninja, go. I've seen the clips. You know, I lost track of the Turtles after the 90s.
Yeah,
I grew up.
Interesting. You grew up.
I grew up, and well, I lost that inner child that loved the pizza eating turtles.
You're the best. Well, you can go keep an eye on that. You can win that sweepstakes and get some pizza scented controllers in your life. We have another fun story. You got more options here on Xbox. And, of course, Tom Warren over at The Verge has alerted all of us that Xbox owners in the U.S. will be able to use Venmo as a payment option at the Microsoft Store. You'll be able to buy games, movies, TV shows, and apps on the Xbox Store, along with Game Pass subscriptions with Venmo. So a new option for you to use when you're purchasing any item off of your Xbox that you might like. So you got your credit card out there. You got Venmo now. What do you think about that, Beans? You happy with more options?
Yeah, more options to get my money. Absolutely. I'm always with that.
Beans gets it.
It's weird how many options there are. When I buy a game on the Xbox Store, it's just tied to my credit card.
Correct.
When my wife buys one on her account, it's tied to her. I don't know how this even works, but it's tied to her Verizon account. So they just bill her when the cell phone bill comes. Like, she's bought an Xbox game. It's billed to her Verizon.
Get
bill.
Out of town.
I don't know how that even works, but apparently it does.
Check that out.
You know, look. We're all going to be using X in a couple of years anyway, right?
Yep,
Elon Musk is going to be controlling the world's financial system. So everything's just going to be paying X. That apparently is the future that awaits us.
Uh-huh.
This will do until then.
Yeah, this will do.
Yeah. Okay. This is what I want, is someone to put a chip in my brain and then have access to my bank accounts.
I love more options. I love when I go onto my Steam and it's tied to my PayPal account so I don't have to bust out my wallet and find my credit card. I like the ease of access. And of course, more options, right? That's what Xbox has been preaching for a long time now, is giving players the option to meet them wherever they want to be.
And listen, so one thing Venmo, that companies will always be good at doing is coming up with new ways for you to give them your money.
Bean said it so well. Another option to take my money.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. I love that. Let's talk about another thing that you love, Gary.
Yep.
Diablo 4,
okay.
Season 1.
Yeah.
It's been a full week since it's launched now. What are your thoughts so far on this brand new season?
I've been playing it. I have a level 30-something rogue.
Oh, you're getting after it.
I've got an 80-something sorcerer, which is on the Eternal Realm.
Okay.
And over on the Seasonal Realm, because, you know, they split them up.
Smart.
I rolled a new character. I rolled a rogue. And I've got him up into the 30s. And I've got a handle on the new features that they've added. I'm a little bit underwhelmed. I'm not sold on it yet.
Okay, and what's not warming you up, Gary? What's not getting you excited? Is it the new way to play with the new Malignant Hearts? Is it just not wowing? Is it restarting a character? You know, you don't have to go through the campaign. You kind of have to start from the beginning. But, like, what's not grabbing you right here?
I mean, the most fun thing for me was actually the thing that when I first heard about it, I was most unsure about, which is why I've got to roll a new character. Yeah. But I've actually enjoyed doing that because I'm learning. My sorcerer, I know how to play my sorcerer. I'm good at the sorcerer. But with a rogue, it's obviously a different skill tree. I'm learning to play a new character. It's a very different play style. I'm learning cool new tricks and ways to play. Oh, let me put some points over into this skill tree. And this is cool. Like, just playing a new character is fun. But I could have done that. I could have rolled a new character on the Eternal Realm.
Yeah.
So that doesn't necessarily bring anything to it. There is a new quest line, a new main story quest. Yeah. Again, as I've said before, I don't particularly care about the Diablo story, so that doesn't add much for me. And then the big new thing, which are these Malignant Hearts, are essentially just like a more complicated version of the gems system. They are things that you can get and socket into your items, and they'll give you bonuses based on what hearts they are. But the system for kind of farming them and then upgrading them and salvaging them and making new ones, it's very. I was trying to explain. I was playing with Felicia and Adam last night, and they were, I was trying to explain to them how it works because I was the one with the most playtime, like figuring it out. And it's needlessly complicated.
No.
Like it's just another level of kind of obfuscation, and I don't really know what it adds other than it's like gems plus, basically. Okay, there's a new kind of socket. I don't know. It's not that exciting.
Okay. Have you seen the new boss?
No, I'm not far enough into the story yet.
Okay. Any new enemies? Malignant enemies?
Well, so there's this new thing called malignant tunnels, okay, which is basically a new kind of dungeon. Yeah. And essentially, when you go into a malignant tunnel, there are certain kinds of beasts that will drop these malignant hearts, and those are things that can be, they're essentially gems that can be socketed into certain items. And there's three different types. There's devious, vicious, and brutal. Oh, and wrathful, which are like the super powerful ones. And those, again, it's just simple, like, you know, it just confers an extra bonus. Like it'll give you like an extra ability, or it'll plus up damage or whatever. You know, there's a million different things that they can do. But then there's like a whole, yeah, there are these invokers, which are these things that you can use to kind of like summon malignant beasts to fight them, and they'll drop more hearts. And then but if you don't like the hearts you've got, you can salvage them into malignant ichor. A malignant ichor is like the component bits that can then be used to craft new ones. Like, I don't know. Is it additive? Is it enough of a thing to hang a whole season on? I don't know. I mean, it's free content. I got the premium battle pass because I had the ultimate edition. The battle pass also, I've never been less excited to unlock tiers on a battle pass, because it's all just shitty cosmetics that no one's even going to notice. Like the silly thing about it is the way that Diablo is set up, the character is so small on the screen.
You know, Gary.
Apart from when you're actually on your character page, which only you are ever going to see, all of the cosmetics, you barely even see them. Like, I don't even know like why I'm bothering to customize my character when I'm in the middle of people are running by me. I don't know what they look like. Okay. Oh, that's a cool helmet. The helmet's like this big. what am I showing off to you?
True. I mean, you can zoom in.
So you can, but no one's doing that. No one's zooming in
during the middle of the game.
No one is zooming in.
I know.
So I don't know. I think I'm still enjoying it. I feel like I'm hitting the ceiling a little bit in terms of like, I'm just doing the same shit over and over now.
Yeah.
That classic kind of end game dilemma where you're starting to feel like I've hit the ceiling of the content and there's not much left me to do that's new. So, I mean, credit to Blizzard. Season one, I think, has arrived at just right as everyone's kind of hitting max level and going, what's next? Here's something else to do, but it's not super exciting. I think the seasonal stuff is, you know, there'll be more of these seasons, and maybe each season will be predicated on a different mechanic, like Malignant Hearts are the mechanic for this one, and then season two will have some other gimmick.
Yes.
But I feel like the next thing to be really excited about will be the first major expansion, like a paid expansion, like a whole new campaign, and like,
that will be big.
You know, like probably a new class and like stuff that actually feels like it's, oh, this is like brought something fresh to the game. Like, I've been playing season one for less than a week, and I'm already kind of over it. It's not super exciting.
Okay, I have more questions for you, but I want to get Beans involved. Beans, have you been playing Diablo 4? What are your thoughts so far in the game or season one, if you've been playing?
I have not started season one yet. I'm still like playing the regular adventure here. The game is pretty long. I've been like, my thing is I get so caught up in like the side stuff. I keep forgetting to focus on the main story. My character's above level 50 now. I know that I'm a druid above level 50. I know I just unlocked all the animal spirits. I just did that. I'm trying to knock out like all the other, I forgot what they call those areas with the red skull over it. I'm trying to knock those all out.
The strongholds?
The strongholds. There you go. I got one more stronghold left. I like it. It's my first Diablo experience. This is the first Diablo game I ever played. And like, I was hooked the minute I got took part in the beta. And then like when I got my review key, it was like all systems go. I could not stop playing that game. So I could think about, the only thing that bothers me a little bit is like the grind to level up after 50 can be a little annoying for some.
Yeah, and they just made that worse as well.
Oh, it is painful. It's so painful looking at that bar just slowly creeping up, and it's just like, okay. But like Gary said, the story's not really something that is intrigued, but I do like the lore a little bit. I do like Lilith. I love that character. I think that character
Lilith is cool.
Like always.
Badass.
I want to get into the new season, though. I'm not. I appreciate that it instead of going on with the character you have, it makes you play as someone else. So I might, because I really like playing with the druids. That's why I played the beta with. So that's why I jumped back into the game, the review code with it. But I'm looking at, you know, once I get to that, once I beat the main story finally, I'm gonna hop into it, see what another character like a rogue or what's the other one, a sorcerer is like. See what it's like. I heard the sorcerer got nerfed or
yeah,
something.
I heard something, but I don't know. I haven't played enough since post patch to really notice it.
Yeah.
It's gonna be interesting. One of the nice things actually about rolling a new character was, as Bean says, you get to a point where, like, you know, each level obviously is more XP than the last to level up, as it always has been. They just nerfed XP to make it even harder. I'm at level 80. I can't even remember the last time I dinged. Like, it's been a while, because you got to play a lot to creep up each level, right? And it's getting harder and harder. The nice thing about going back to a level one character is you're dinging all the time, and every piece of gear you get is an improvement. You go, oh, new, these are better. You're swapping out gear all the time. Uh-huh. And then as you progress and you get better gear and get higher level, that happens less and less. Like on my, like just yesterday on my rogue, which is like level 30, like three pieces of gear dropped for me, or like a big upgrade, and I felt really good about it. On my sorcerer, which is like level 80 plus, like I can't remember the last time a piece of gear dropped for me that was better than what I already have.
Yeah.
You know, it's fewer. That's cool though, because when something does drop, you go, ooh, an upgrade. Like that's exciting because it's been a while. But I don't know. I just feel like I'm hitting the ceiling a little bit. And I don't know about this seasonal stuff. Like I was excited about season one because I wanted to play a rogue anyway, and this is my opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm not particularly excited about playing a druid or a necromancer or even a barbarian. Like when season two comes along, now I've got to roll another one. I'm less excited to do that because I don't really want to play those other classes as much. And I don't know. I feel like I said, the expansion, and there's like a blood knight class that they've introduced in Diablo Immortal that maybe comes to Diablo 4. Like a whole new class might be, I feel like it's going to need something bigger because I'm very, and I'm not even one of these hardcore min-maxers that's like complaining, you know, one of these people that like burns through content. But like, even as I would say, like a semi, somewhere between casual and hardcore player, like I'm playing a lot, but I'm not like, you know, going nuts over every you know, point of experience. I can already feel myself like, I feel myself running out of things to do.
Yeah.
Even with the seasonal stuff, because the Malignant Hearts, it ain't that big of a deal. They're just fancy gems, and that's not that exciting.
It's not what I want to hear, Gary. And I think that's the tough part for me as someone who played a lot of Diablo 3 and they started introducing the seasons, right? The seasons never captured me then and there, right? I was always, give me the big expansion. Show me why I got to come back. Give me something bigger, something meaty to jump into. I never got behind the seasons. And when I saw this, it just didn't pique my interest. It didn't get me excited, right? And hearing you say that kind of stuff doesn't make me want to turn on for a different, smaller play style with these hearts.
The one area that I think where there might be some potential for the game to have a lot of enduring appeal is that, which one area I haven't touched yet, which is PvP. Yeah. So I want to hit max level before I try any PvP. But the PvP zones are kind of fun because it's built around, you know, what has been the hot thing in PvP for a while now, which is extraction, right? You collect these things, you kill enemies, you collect these things called aberrant cinders, but then you have to take them to like an extraction point, and when you extract those cinders, everyone gets alerted to the fact that you're doing that at this location. So people are going to descend upon you. Remember in The Division, when you used to extract, that used to be so much
fun. Dark zone,
waiting for that chopper to come in, but like all these players are like coming in to try and get you and steal your gear, and getting that stuff hooked onto the chopper and getting it out in time was like so much fun. And that became like, you know, Tarkov. There's a whole genre of like extraction based PvP games.
Yes.
Now. And Diablo has gone in that direction. And I feel like that could be fun once I get my teeth into it, but I haven't tried it yet.
Okay. Well, I like you giving me the season one rundown. I like hearing your impressions, and let's find out how you feel throughout the season. If you can continue,
I'm gonna stick with it.
Fall. Yeah, I want to know.
I'm telling you, most of my fun at this point is coming from that artificial boost of playing with friends. If I were playing solo, I probably would have moved on by now.
Really?
Yeah, but playing with a group is always a fun multiplier.
You just chop it up, have some fun. I like that. Beans, we're gonna conclude this week's XCast, but I want to thank you for joining me and Gary. You have been incredible. Thank you for bringing your knowledge and fun and chopping it up with me and Gary on a lovely Wednesday. Of course, Beans, where can all of the Kind of Funny XCast and Kind of Funny Best Friends audience find you? What dope stuff do you got in the pipeline that you can share with us?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram at Beans Got Games with a Z at the end, not an S. Right now, work is kind of dry because of the whole ongoing strike as far as entertainment work is concerned. And I'm with you, Gary, all the way on that. Right now, you can find all my work on hiphopwired.com and my other website, cassiuslife.com. And that's pretty much it, man. It was a pleasure being here, Mike. Thank you for inviting me. It was a pleasure being part of this conversation with you and Gary. And big fans of you guys. Of course, I'm a Kind of Funny best friends. And I met you guys out in Los Angeles. And I just want to say, when you guys entered the building, the energy in that place changed completely. You guys are rock stars out there. I want to say that right now. You guys are rock stars, bro.
So that's Gary Witter.
The energy also changes when I entered the building.
Gary Witter, you got the energy.
Bring the energy down.
We're about to bring the energy to a big dinner together, you and I, right now.
I show up and immediately start complaining about how it's too loud. Oh, yeah, we're going to Benihana.
We're going to Benihana. It's my first time ever going to a Benihana Beans.
It's going to be fun.
Mike, you're going to love it, Mike. I'm telling you.
They're going to make that fried onion volcano for you. They're going to do it all.
You think I'm going to love you? All right, Beans. Well, I'm going to be contacting you first to tell you if I love it or not.
I guarantee by tomorrow afternoon, Mike will have posted 10 different videos of his experience
tonight
at Benihana.
All you're going to hear about him from him tomorrow is Benihana.
I can't wait to talk about it. Of course, I want to give a big thank you to Bernard Smalls, aka Beans Got Game, for joining us. You are incredible. Thank you so much for filling in for Pairs. Thank you for joining us for this week. Kind of Funny best friends. Y'all have seen him before. Y'all know it. Go check out all the work. Go support him, and he will definitely be back again. Gary, another week down. We'll be back next week with one Paris Lily after vacation. We'll catch up with the two gaming dads, and onward and upward for more Xbox fun. Until then, goodbye, gamers.